Welcome to Beyond the Pulpit, exploring the life and ministry of Walnut Creek Church downtown. This podcast is a ministry of the pastors of Walnut Creek Church downtown for our members and regular attenders. To learn more, please visit walnutcreekchurch.org/downtown or join us on Sunday mornings at 8, 9:15 or 10:45 a.m. at 323 East Locust Street in downtown Des Moines.
All right. Well, welcome to Beyond the Pulpit, episode 2. I think eventually we'll stop announcing which episode that we're on.
It's a good idea.
But this is episode 2. My name is Derek Wadley, and I'm joined here with Dan Rude. Say hi, Dan.
What's up, guys?
And Luke is not with us right now. He is currently on vacation with his family for spring break, so we're doing this without him. So with this episode, we just wanted to tell you about a few things coming up in the life of the church, some things to have on your radar, and then we're actually going to have an interview here towards the end of the episode. So the first thing, though, we want is to get on your radar is Mission to the City. Mission of the City.
When is Mission to the City,
Dean? Mission to the City will be May 24th and 25th this year. That is the Friday and Saturday before Memorial Day. And this is really a great opportunity to serve the city and serve other nonprofits in our city doing a lot of great work. It's opportunities to share the gospel. There's going to be a lot more details available here in the coming weeks as we get to planning on that. So that's a really big thing in the life of the church. We've done it for how long now?
I don't remember how many years, but it's been at least 10 years. It's maybe been more than 10 years.
Yeah. And
many years ago when the church first started, a lot of us, we were going on mission trips to Europe. So I've been to Barcelona, Spain 5 times, and different teams have gone to Germany and Ireland, different places. And those trips were designed to just be all about sharing the gospel. And as a church, a lot of the college students, I think 160 college students, went down to Florida on the spring break mission trip. And so we had been doing that for a long time, but it used to be in Europe. We used to go to Europe, which is kind of crazy. And I remember maybe it was 15 years ago, something like that. Jess Ritchie and I were talking, and he said, Dan, I think we should do a mission trip to Des Moines. He's like, it's so good to be together and to just do stuff that you don't normally do. I mean, how often do you serve different ministries and organizations outside of the church? And it just gives us an opportunity to experiment and with different ways of sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. It gives us opportunities to meet all kinds of people and build relationships throughout the city. And so it's really been a wonderful thing. I bet you we've done it for at least 12 years, I think.
I think so. I'm trying to remember if the first one was the year I got married or the year we were engaged, but 2010, I remember.
Whoa.
I remember that. Because we did a concert at the end.
Oh, yeah.
With Phil Wickham.
Phil Wickham, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was awesome. It was a whole week long. Mission to the City used to be an entire week, and we would start at 3 in the morning and go until midnight. Yeah, not really 3 in the morning, but we started.
It was more like 5 a.m. to 11 p.m., yeah, so that wasn't much of an exaggeration.
So you guys have it easy now. Only 2 days of Mission to the City.
Yeah, and one of these days is actually a little bit more important than the other.
Which day is it, Dee?
That would be Friday the 24th.
Nice.
So I would encourage you to pray about taking that day off if you're going to do Mission to the City. That is the day that most nonprofits are open and have the greatest needs. And so we get to get out in neighborhoods a lot and help out different homes and neighbors of people in the church on Saturday. And that's a really wonderful thing. But for the different kind of parachurch ministries or nonprofits that help families and single moms and the unborn, that's the best day for us to get out there is that Friday. So
sign up for Friday.
Sign up for Friday
and Saturday. Yeah,
that's right.
It's good.
Great.
Now, Dee, part of what we're doing here is we are responding to questions. That's really what we want to do. And
yes.
Since the first episode, I've gotten all kinds of questions. And one of the questions I've gotten is how do you submit your question to Beyond the Pulpit?
That's a great question. That's something that I think that we said we would tell you at the end of the last episode, and then we didn't.
And we didn't do it.
We did not do that. So there's actually a couple of ways that you can submit your questions. One, you can go to our website, walnutcreekchurch.org/downtown, And there is a picture of Beyond the Pulpit on there, and there's buttons that you can click to send an email with your question, or if you're on your phone, you can press the button and it will open up a text message for you to send your question into us. Otherwise, you can email us at beyondthepulpit@walnutcreekchurch.org and just put Beyond the Pulpit in the subject line so that we know that you have a question for us. We also have a text line that you can send it in. Now, it's a long phone number. It's not a short code. So it is 515-200-1652-1652. And in order for it to get routed the right way, you need to put Beyond the Pulpit, all one word, as the very first word in the text. And then you can send in your question. So
that's awesome. And yeah. We really want to hear from you guys about whatever you have on your mind, questions about what we're teaching at church or what we're doing at church. Really, the mission of Beyond the Pulpit is to do a better job of communicating what's happening in the life and the ministry of the church. And it doesn't just have to, if you have questions, you can come up to us at church or anywhere, text us privately. But we want to do a better job of communicating what's happening in the church.
Yep. And there's only so many opportunities for conversations or so much time at member meetings. So yeah, we really want to do as much as we can here. And so, yeah, we will take as many of those questions as you've got. And we'll try to do at least once a month, kind of a mailbag segment where we just almost rapid fire go after as many questions as we can. Other times, some of the questions are going to be relevant to what we're studying. So on episodes where we dive back into a passage from church, we'll be able to tackle some of those there. This weekend, though, we're starting something new. We've been studying Romans for a couple of years now, it feels like. We've got a couple more years to go, but we're starting something this weekend. What are we doing, Dee?
So Easter's coming up March 31st, and Easter is a time where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the most significant, arguably the most significant event in human history, or maybe not even arguably, it is the most important event in human history. And so we want to spend a couple of weeks preparing our hearts and our minds to consider the resurrection. And so to do that, we're going to be working through the Gospel of John. We're going to study this week, we're going to study John chapter 11. The next week, we're going to study John chapter 12. And then on Easter Sunday, we're going to be looking at the resurrection text in John chapter 20. And so really the heartbeat of this little mini series is to jump into the flow of the Gospel of John as it relates to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And when you study the Gospels, what you'll see is that the overwhelming majority of the Gospels are devoted to the last week of Jesus's life, the last 7 days. And so even though we're in John chapter 11, really the rest of John chapter, or the rest of the Gospel of John is just devoted to really the last week of his life.
Yep.
And it emphasizes the importance of understanding the cross and understanding the resurrection. That's what the gospel writers want us to understand. And so we want to jump into that stream of thought over the next couple of weeks so that we can understand the significance of the resurrection. And so I'm thrilled about that. And I wanted to mention that for whatever reason in our culture, people are way more open to going to church on Easter or during the Easter season. And that includes a few weeks leading up to Easter. That includes the Good Friday services. And that includes Easter Sunday. And so as Christians, it can be very difficult at times to know when is the appropriate time to invite someone to church or invite someone into your house or share the gospel with people. It can be a little bit awkward. But as a culture, there's still an understanding of Easter and a respect for it for the most part. And so this is a great opportunity to invite people to church. And so I want to encourage everybody to think about who are some people either at work or on your kids' teams or, you know, just your neighbors, whoever it is, who can you invite to church? And so we have little church invites at the Welcome Center, and I want to encourage you to pick those up. And it does make a difference. You know, God has set up the kingdom in such a way that it moves forward, that God works through his people to move his kingdom forward. And so he uses our faith. He uses our relationships. He uses our words to do supernatural things. And so just a simple invite to church might change someone's whole life, that God might use that to change someone's entire life. And so we want to maximize that as a church. We don't want to diminish the importance of the Easter season. We want to maximize it so that people can hear about the good news of what Christ has done for us. I mean, the hope of the resurrection. Oh my goodness, it has been changing people's lives for thousands of years, 2,000 years. Millions and millions of people's lives have been changed because they've heard about how Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death and Satan on our behalf. And so we have a message that is worth sharing. And so one easy way to do that is just invite people to church.
Yep. You can invite them starting this weekend. And on Good Friday, which is March 29th, we'll have a Good Friday service at 6 p.m.
Cool.
That's a good one to invite people to. And like Dan said, we have invite cards at the Welcome Center. I think we have 500 available right now. But if we have to print more, we will gladly print
Hopefully
more.
Hopefully we run out.
Yeah. Our goal would be to run out soon. And we've also made a little booklet that you can walk through the last week of Jesus's life with somebody you're reading the Bible with, or maybe somebody who you're interested in reading the Bible with.
So, or you can read it with your kids.
You can read it with your kids. It's a great family devotional. So we've put that together. That's also at the Welcome Center. It can be used as an outreach for people as well. So this is a big opportunity to invite somebody who might otherwise not come to church. Well, all right. Well, a few weeks ago, we had a special guest in Des Moines, and we capitalized on the opportunity to sit down with him and to talk to him about life outside of Iowa. So a few years ago, we sent Jacob Van Sickle and a team out to Providence, Rhode Island to plant a church. And that team, as I've been able to talk to them, as things have gone on, there's been so many encouraging stories coming out of Providence, so many encouraging stories. And we were able to sit down with Jacob while he was here a few weeks ago and talk to him about what's going on with Sacred City Church in Providence, Rhode Island. And so we recorded this a few weeks back, but here it is for you now. All right. Well, we are here with Jacob Van Sickle of Sacred City Church in Rhode Island. I don't know if anyone remembers, but we planted a church out there a number of years ago. So we have Jake in town teaching a class through Midwestern Seminary, and we thought we'd strike while the iron was hot, and he was here, and ask him to join us to talk about how things are going out in Rhode Island. So Jacob, thanks for being with us.
Hey, glad to be here.
Great. Well, maybe you could remind us a little bit why Providence was selected as a place to go and plant the church.
I think regardless of where I am, like whether it was here before we planted the church and being out in Providence, or there have been opportunities to talk with other churches and other locations about this, that's always the question. Why? So why Providence? The short answer is my wife, Sasha, is from Providence or just outside of Providence. And the longer answer is Providence is a really lost place. If you compare it to Des Moines, the evangelical percentage is much lower. It's like basically a different world. Mm. And when I first went out there in 2010, after my wife and I, Sasha and I, started dating, I remember thinking someone should plant a church here. And I never thought that someone would be me. I wasn't even thinking about ministry at the time. I didn't even know what church planting was. I knew it was a cool concept I heard probably on a podcast. And I said, but somebody should do it. And over the years of being involved in campus fellowship here and being involved as a pastor here, that desire just grew over time. And the confirmation of that desire grew as I sought counsel with other people. And as I grew in an understanding of the situation on the ground in Providence and in the Northeast in general, the need that grew, my understanding of the need grew. So that was why Providence. I could probably spend this whole time talking about that, but that's why in general.
No, that's really helpful. I think that's great. So as you got out there, what are some of maybe the challenges that you came across that maybe you didn't even expect, given how lost of a place it is, but what are some of the more interesting challenges that you've approached?
You know, I tell people, think of the Northeast basically like a different country culturally when it comes to religion. Yes, we have the same constitution. They send senators just like we send senators to DC. We all speak English. We all like baseball, as we should.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the way people think about religion and the way people interact with Christianity, it is a different world. So just for example, I was meeting with a guy, he's a student at Brown University, and I was telling him that we're going to be teaching through Jonah. And he had recently learned that there's an Old and New Testament. He's like, which one, Old or New Testament? I'm like, well, it's an Old Testament. I'm like, have you heard the story? He's like, I have no idea what the story is. So I told him the story of Jonah, and he's hearing it for the first time.
That's wild.
And there's another guy, Pio, that's seriously his name, a good Italian name, Pio the Fourth. And same thing, we're going through the stories, and he's hearing the stories for the first time. He was catechized in the Catholic Church, but really didn't grow up hearing anything. And that is a very normal experience. Mm-hmm. You might meet some people that here in the Midwest that have that experience, but the percentage is much lower. And that was the experience of Sasha before she moved here for college and went to Drake. She had never been to church, even for a wedding or a funeral, ever before college. A funny story, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus here, but back in the day, this is a good thing and also a bad thing at the same time, but the culture was you just throw people into serving as soon as possible. So she was teaching kids class. And she had to go on Google and search who Abraham was.
That's good. That's good.
Nice.
Are
you saying that's a problem?
She figured it out.
That's right. She learned along with the kids.
I still do that for teaching.
We should track who those kids were. They know who Abraham is now.
That's right.
That's the culture. So for myself and teaching people, I have to consider that and discipling people.
Yep.
It's going to take a lot longer, you know, as far as that way the process works. The built-in, I should go to church when life is not going well. That's not built-in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different place.
What is the predominant, like, religion in Rhode Island? Is it Catholicism or is it, what do people, do they ascribe to anything?
So I'd say Rhode Island is a post-Christian culture, but that Christian is Catholic.
Okay.
So it's a post-Catholic
culture.
So I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Spotlight, and for everybody listening, I would recommend watching Spotlight. It will ruin your evening. So just be aware.
Definitely.
It's about the abuses in the Catholic Church in Boston, and how it was covered up and hundreds and hundreds of people. Well, that came out in the early 2000s, 2003 is when that report came out. And that really affected the whole region. It wasn't just Boston, it was the whole area. Providence is 50 minutes south of Boston. So religion was already on a decline. Percentages were already plummeting. And then you have this massive scandal, the biggest in the United States.
Yep.
Maybe the biggest globally, just huge scandal comes out. So that was for a lot of young people. Those were their parents when they were growing up.
Yep.
So a lot of the young people, they just didn't grow up with anything. They didn't grow up in the church. And
have people been skeptical of you and the team, or have they been pretty welcoming, or how have you been received?
I'd say there's either a skepticism, or there's a, I don't even know what to do. I don't have any thoughts. It definitely does not win any brownie points at all. So I almost avoid telling people. Well, I tell people I'm a pastor because I don't want to lie.
Good strategy.
It's not good to lie. And, you know, I want to introduce how we're planting a church because that's what we're there to do.
Yep.
But I know that it might be a conversation stopper, or it's not, definitely not going to, wow, that's a great thing. Just a different environment.
Yeah. What are the college campuses like there in Providence?
So in the Providence area, there are 58,000 college students.
Wow.
And that consists of 5 to 6 universities. So Brown University is an Ivy League school, about 8,000 students. Johnson & Wales School, it's one of the best culinary arts schools in the nation, and a business school. It's downtown Providence. Providence College, A lot of people know them for their basketball team, March Madness.
How are they doing this year?
They're doing really good this year.
Mm. Yeah. The Friars.
Yeah. And I'm glad that's the case. But I'm also annoyed that if any Friar fans are listening, they keep on parking in our parking lot. And that's annoying. So I'm glad the season's going well.
So stop doing that.
Yeah, stop doing it. Rhode Island College is Division III public school. It has about 10,000 students. The community college in the area, there's a prestigious art school named Rhode Island School of Design. So it's in this area about 58,000, but very different types of college students. The long-term vision would be to have a campus fellowship, which for those that don't know campus fellowship, it's a college ministry that started here at Walnut Creek and has now expanded to other campuses and other churches. The long-term goal would be to have a campus fellowship at every single campus in the Providence area.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be great.
What kind of successes have you seen in trying to break onto campuses in the area so far?
So right now we have a club functioning at Rhode Island College. We have some students coming from Brown University, but haven't officially started a club there. We made an attempt to start one at the community college, but we've run into some snares. So if you want to pray about that, I don't think it'd be helpful to get into weeds of the snares we've run into, but if you could pray for the community college of Rhode Island, that is basically where we're at. I would love to get to Johnson & Wales University, because it's actually the closest one to the church. We're walking distance, just two blocks over. So if you'd be praying for inroads with Johnson & Wales, just a key student to get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. What has kind of been your experience as a team going into this new environment? You know, a lot of people, maybe you didn't know each other super well in Des Moines, but how is that changed and how has that really helped the church as you've gone kind of through the furnace of church planning together?
So a little over a year ago, we were having a retreat with a group of the leaders and we talked about where's the church at? How are we doing? And the thing that we decided is like, this is what needs to happen. Vacation mode needs to end.
Yeah.
In all the different phases, we read an article before we even moved as missionaries go through different phases. And the first phase is like a honeymoon phase, vacation phase. And the stage after that is being disillusioned. And it's like, okay, vacation mode, we are here to plant a church. We need to plant a church and we need to stabilize in the mission or people are just going to be disillusioned. This is all this came at a cost. This is hard.
Yep.
And it's kind of honing in on the mission. This is what we're going to do has been really good for the team and really good for our souls. And really, I think it's united us.
I believe it.
Because it's hard.
Oh, yeah.
And it's pain that you invited into your life.
Yeah.
You know, there's some pain that you don't necessarily invite. But when you decide to plant a church, you decide to invite pain into your life.
Whether you know it or not.
Yeah. And this goes for just deciding to love anyone. So this is, I'm going to love my neighbor across the street. Well, you're going to invite pain into your life when you do that. That's what it means to love people. And you do it because you care. And I am so proud of the team and just the different phases and growing together and learning to focus together and learning to be missionally engaged together. Whenever someone asks, what's the most encouraging thing? That's the answer. I'm just really just proud of the people that have moved out and given their lives to do it. And we've all had growing pains, every single one of us, myself included. But they just, lean on the Lord.
What are some ways you've seen God's just faithfulness come through as you've started this new church?
Oh, man.
I'm sure there's plenty, many. Or if you have one or two that you're like, man.
The thing that I've been thinking for myself personally that applies to this, and it's just the first thing that comes to mind, is I've been thinking that God in his mission has me as a missionary in mind when he sends us on mission. So a whole part of the equation is God wants to win more of me as he wins other people to know him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like we're teaching through Jonah, and Andrew taught last week, Andrew Montgomery, and he mentioned how a big part of the mission of Jonah is not the Ninevites, it's actually Jonah. And that was just good for my soul, and it is already something I've been thinking as I go through the scriptures in my own time with the Lord. Like, God wants me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he really wants me. And that's a big part of the mission. And seeing that is a huge part of the blessing that God gives.
Mm-hmm.
In a more tangible way, you just had so many issues with our building.
Mm-hmm.
And God over and over and over opened up doors in ways that at the time, I'm like, what is going on? Like, why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a long story. I don't know if you even have time for that. But the outcome is, this is better than I even planned.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
God had a plan, and there's no way that I could have controlled all of this. And he, by his grace, provided it for us.
It's a wonderful truth to be reminded of. I mean, just as you step out in faith, God meets you,
mm-hmm.
and he takes mm-hmm. care of you. He takes care of us. You know, he's our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of the ways then that we back here in Des Moines can be praying for you, as a church, your family, anything like that?
I think two things. One, I would just pray that we would be people that love the Lord from our hearts, just all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, that everything is for him. That is a good prayer for every person.
That's right.
I realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you're in a place where things are more costly, like you're away from family, that's a cost.
Mm-hmm.
You're at a place that literally costs more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Providence is one of the hottest housing markets in the United States right now. It's extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes at a cost. It comes at a very tangible cost.
What about drinking Dunkin' Donut coffee? Is that?
I've been won over. I don't even consider that a cost.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, my goodness. You've changed, Jacob. You've changed.
Yeah. If you haven't watched the Dunkin' Donuts commercial that was on.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
It was number one.
Right now, stop the podcast.
Yeah, that was. It's worth the watch.
Go buy a nice coffee at Dunkin'. This podcast brought to you by.
That's right. That's right.
But I think when things cost more, you have to have a fuel that will last.
Mm,
and that's
right.
The only fuel that actually lasts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is a love for God.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you could be praying for is as missionaries being wise. So we're a year and a half into the church plant as far as when we officially started. And what we decided to do the first year is we're just going to run the Walnut Creek play. We're not going to change very much. We're just going to, this is the play. We're going to run it because we know there are things that need to change based off of the context,
mm-hmm.
but we don't want to change them preemptively and then be like, oh, the reason why it didn't work is because we changed the original plan. So you're like, we're going to run the play for a year. We're going to reassess and then start tweaking things based off of the context.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need, we've gotten to that point. And we're starting to make some change, but we just need wisdom from God. What is the most appropriate way to bring a gospel into this different culture? You know, obviously missionaries that are in Mozambique have to do this way more,
mm-hmm.
but it's still the same principle.
Totally.
We want to contextualize the gospel in the church in an appropriate way that meets people where they're at. So pray for that.
Yeah. We can definitely do that. Well, I know that you have been teaching an ethics class for the last few days, and your brain is probably scrambled eggs at best right now.
Yep,
so I don't want to wear you out too much. So we can let you go unless you guys have any other questions you think would be helpful. Great.
Don't.
All right. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us, let us know how things are going out in Rhode Island. I have no idea when we're actually going to release this, so it might just sit on my computer for a while. But
should we say a few things and then you can cut it? Happy Easter, everyone. I hope
Merry
you're
Christmas.
Your summer break. There you go.
Enjoy the fireworks tonight at the 4th of July celebration.
Right. But anyways, Walnut Creek, really love all of you, and I'm so thankful to be able to come back and see all the exciting things that are going on and the great leadership by the pastors within the church in that. Just keep on doing what you're doing and being faithful to Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Pulpit. Walnut Creek Church exists to glorify God by making authentic disciples of Jesus Christ who love and worship Him in all they do. If you were encouraged by this podcast, please leave us a review on either Apple or Spotify. For more, please check out our YouTube page and subscribe for daily clips and videos. To submit a question to be answered on our next podcast, please visit our website at walnutcreekchurch.org/downtown. If you haven't already, give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram and sign up for our weekly email updates. And please join us at 323 East Locust Street in downtown Des Moines at 8, 9:15, or 10:45 a.m. on Sunday mornings.